Going live. It says we're going live, and we're live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on Tuesday afternoon. The Packers' day off, but we never take days off here at Cheesehead TV, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. How the hell are you? Look, everybody signing up, jumping on board. Good to see everyone. Are the Packers missing a running back of Lacy's physicality? No. No, they have Jamal Williams, who is as physical as anyone's ever been at the position. What's up, David, Aaron, Brett? How are you guys? Jay, when you watch the tape, the offensive line jumps out more than anything. Rodgers had no chance, even though he didn't play great. Well, I mean, the offensive line certainly struggled, but it was all in one. I just got off the radio actually talking about this, saying, you know, there's no one unit and or person that was left hanging out to dry against the 49ers, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Everyone stunk. You know? I mean, yeah. Did the offensive line have a poor game? Yes. So did Aaron Rodgers. So did the receivers. So did the running backs, kind of. Like, they were probably the only ones who really came to play. But, yeah, the offensive line certainly had a bad night at the office. No doubt about it. Notifications interrupted a video I was watching, but hey, Cheesehead TV. That's why I'm here, man. To interrupt videos you shouldn't be watching anyway. Should be here talking Packers with us. Ooh, Steven with a bad joke. Folks, they call him Alex Light because he's easy to move. Get your bad jokes out now, folks, because I don't think Alex Light's going to be playing on Sunday. Nags, Robo Bulaga lasted longer than you thought. Well, you knew the injury was coming at some point. The guy battles through everything. Just finally had one that he can't battle through. He'll undoubtedly miss Sunday, probably the following week too. I would suspect they'll probably hold him out until that Vikings game, but we'll see. Hello from Minnesota, Aaron. Adam, what's up? Hello from New York. How much different does this game go if it's at Lambeau? That's a good question, Bach. Yeah, a bit different, but I don't think, you know, all other things being equal. Probably not. You know, maybe it's a little closer, but I still think 49ers would have won given what was on display. Next, what is your guess for the starting offensive line on Sunday? I would think regular three from left to right as far as Bakhtiari, Jenkins, and Lindsley. And then I think it'll be Lucas Patrick at guard and Billy Turner at right tackle. One of the reasons you paid Billy Turner the money you did is because of his versatility, the fact that he has starting experience at right tackle. Now, here you go. You did that because you got killed year after year having to roll Jason Spriggs out there. Now you don't have to do that. You've got a guy with experience, albeit he's not as good as Bulaga, but he's much better than what they grew accustomed to with Jason Spriggs. So now you can put Turner out there, plug in Patrick at guard, and hopefully maybe not miss a beat, but not have to completely retool your offense. The Seahawks / Gus Bradley defense is killing us. It's the scheme traditionally hard on Matt LaFleur offense more so than others. Not necessarily that particular matchup, but it certainly has given the Packers problems, mostly because of their inability / refusal to run the football and stick with it. I mean, that's point blank. Now, I guess the Chargers, you could argue the Packers just killed themselves. They just shot themselves in the foot so often that they got behind the sticks way too much early on. And then it was over because, you know, they were in third and long and Bosa and company just teed off. Against the 49ers, that was self-inflicted in a different way, mostly because they kept spreading things out and trying to throw it, which made no sense. You have to run them out of that coverage. You have to run them out of that shell. And if you can do that, then you can start taking advantage. But because of their ability to sit back and make you earn everything, keep everything in front of them, have very few windows to throw the ball into, Rodgers, very risk adverse, isn't going to force the issue. That is the issue. They have got to, next time, if there is a next time they face this style of defense, they have got to run the football. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It ain't rocket science. It's not sexy. It's not fun. It doesn't get you on SportsCenter, highlight reels, etc. But it's what has to be done. Evan, thoughts? Bump Kumaro up in snaps, bump Gmo down, decreased Jamal's carries, and in turn increase Aaron Jones' carries, spread the ball around, and let the big plays develop with Devontae. Evan, I could not agree more with everything you just said. Well done. Was poor punt protection impacting JK's bad punts? Oh, man, Nathan, I'd love to find some excuses, but, I mean, this has been going on for a month now. And the 49ers were noticeably aggressive. You got that right. They were certainly coming after him in a way that some teams haven't. But it hasn't really mattered if guys are coming, you know, teams are coming after him or not. He has punted poorly over the course of the last three or four games. And that is before we've really faced any kind of real weather. I mean, he obviously punted in the cold and the snow against Carolina. But other than that, they've been pretty favorable conditions, and he has looked pretty poor. He has got to get it turned around. What score out of 10 would you give AR-12's play lately? I don't know, lately? What are you talking about? How many games back are we going? I don't know. Turner to right tackle? Yes, Jeffrey, we were just talking about that. That is probably most likely what will happen on Sunday. What's behind the poor special teams play? Packers year in and year out seem to always get beat in this phase of the game. Martin, I would posit, and I know this is maybe something that sounds obvious, but I would posit that it's not a focal point slash emphasis, point of emphasis in Green Bay. It certainly wasn't under Mike McCarthy, and I haven't seen any evidence to suggest that it's any different under Matt LaFleur. Now, could Sean Menenga do a better job? Probably. Are the guys not holding up their end of the bargain on the field? Yeah, no doubt. There's plenty of tape to support that. But if you're going to be good on special teams, it takes commitment from the top down, and it takes time. It takes practice time. It means committing not only resources, but, you know, practice to it. And we were at camp, you know, there was, you know, special teams periods, etc., but certainly nothing more than we saw under Mike McCarthy. It's pretty much same old, same old. So I think until there's a concerted effort to change things, and that starts with LaFleur, we're going to continue to see what we've seen. Could Jenkins move to right tackle instead, or too big a jump? I think he could. I don't think you'd want him to, though. He has played all five positions in his football history, but that was in college. Billy Turner's played right tackle in the NFL, so they'll probably stick with that. This team was out of contention this time last year, and they lost again. One lost team. I know we got excited, and we should be, but let's not pretend change comes swiftly and without bumps in the road. I agree, Josh. Something I was saying last night, somebody in my Twitter mentions was saying how that 49ers game made them no longer excited for the possibility of a Super Bowl. Like, yo, this team missed the playoffs 2 years in a row, and now they're probably going to make the playoffs. I mean, it's not for sure, but probably. And you're already upset that they're not going to win the Super Bowl in week 12. Like, can we enjoy the ride for a second, please? Dexter Lawrence can be a problem. Get that right. What happened to when blitzing Rodgers was the worst thing you could do? Michael, that's an excellent question. It's something I just kind of highlighted on my Twitter feed. I have no idea. He doesn't seem to be processing things as quickly as he used to and or taking advantage when they are there. Jake, thank you for the super chat. Lazard was open a lot when you go back and look at film, but Rodgers always looks Devontae's way first, no matter what. It's so infuriating. Well, Jake, all right. There's two exaggerations there in your statement. Thank you again for the super chat. But the exaggeration one is Lazard was open a lot. All right. He was open a few times. There's certainly opportunities there. But two, always looks Devontae's way first, no matter what. No. Devontae is the first read in the progression a lot of the time because he is their number one guy. Is Rodgers locking onto him too much because he's going through his progressions? No, that's the design. Now, the argument can be made that we should have other guys be the number one more often, whether it is Aaron Jones, whether it is Alan Lazard. But, you know, you can't kill Rodgers for locking on to Davante Adams when he's most likely the number one progression in the read. You know, that's his job. So it's never as easy as, oh, God, this is the problem. There are multiple problems all throughout the ball club. And it's on Matt LaFleur to get that figured out. Who's going to play left tackle? That'd be David Bakhtiari. Packers beat the Giants. Mini gets kicked by Seattle Monday night, and this whole thing looks a little different. No, R-E-L-A-X. Possible. That is one possibility. One possible outcome. I'm hoping for it. Jimmy Graham is Richard Rodgers. Yeah, except Richard Rodgers could catch. Oh! And he wasn't so expensive. Oh! All right, I'll stop. Who is our best tight end at this point? Probably Mercedes Lewis. He catches everything. He's a good blocker. Maybe not a speed burner, but I'll take him. I think we may see Turner fare better at tackle. His above-average athleticism can show more. His build is not stocky enough for guard at times. I mean, yeah, he's a taller guy, so he is a bit. Does seem a bit miscast at guard, but he's after a very shaky start. I think he's rounded into shape pretty nicely. He had a rough outing Sunday night, but so did everybody. Doesn't this remind you of the year we got blown out by Arizona and we still got hope? Can't say it does. Who needs to step up more on both sides of the ball? Good question, Gary. Well, on offense, it's easy. Geronimo Allison. If he's going to be out there, he's got to produce. He's got to catch the balls thrown to him, got to make the blocks presented to him and not get penalties. Geronimo needs to get his head out of his butt. And I like Geronimo, but come on. He has become a liability. Can't be a liability. And on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, it's got to be Blake Martinez, right? I mean, it was nice to see him get after the quarterback, be allowed to get after the quarterback on Sunday night. One of the best things he does is pass rush. When he's allowed, when the number is called, more often than not, he gets home. And you saw him with a big sack, a couple of pressures, had a great, great night in that regard. But overall, it was more of the same, right? He's got to step up. David, thank you for the super chat. Why isn't our year one head coach team best in the NFL yet? Excellent point, sir. Sarcastic though you may be. It should have been 13-3 at the half, not 23-0. LaFleur should have challenged the Graham catch. It would have changed the outcome of the game. All right, Nick. The Graham catch, non-catch may have changed the flow, and maybe the outcome becomes different, but they didn't lose the game because of that. They didn't challenge that. That's silly. But as far as it should have been 13-3 at the half, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. I mean, they play cover one. They play better coverage on that slant. That shouldn't have happened. They played soft, especially up front where they kicked Z inside, had a light box. And San Francisco tore off a couple runs, chewed up a bunch of yardage. That's on Mike Pettine. There's all sorts of things they could have done at the end of that first half. But I agree with the premise that the end of the first half was where it all fell apart. That's where the game pretty much changed for the worse. Do I think the Packers will play in London soon? I hope so. I mean, we'll see. I thought for sure it was going to happen this year against the Chargers, and then it didn't. So I got my fingers crossed. I'd love to see it. NFL Network reported Bakhtiari has a minor MCL sprain, or did they just use the wrong name and it was Bulaga? Well, Bulaga is the one with an MCL sprain that I know about, unless this is brand new information that's just come out while I went live. What did you think of Josh Niemann in camp? A guy, undrafted, big guy, athletic, typical Packers, a guy who can play up and down the line a little bit. It'd be interesting to see if he has to play. Well, here's hoping not. Pretty much that's a depth move. How long before some Packers fans start calling for Coach LaFleur's head? Evan, I think I saw a few of those on Sunday night. Come on. Jake, thank you for the super chat. If Lazard was a Patriot, he gets that tripping flag. Probably. Weather looking nasty on Sunday. I didn't see nasty. I saw snow, though. That'll be fun. What are you most concerned about with coaches' play calling, if any? When it comes to play calling, there are certainly frustrations in the moment, and there are absolutely things that I would do differently or I think he should do differently. But look, don't ever forget that Coach LaFleur has forgotten more football than we'll ever know. And while I can certainly sit here on the watch party and chastise how they go about running their offense. It is just the rantings of a drunken fool. I would do things like get to the hurry up offense, get to your 2 minute a lot faster, get push tempo in and out of the huddle, make Rodgers not take all the time on the play clock. But that's all real theoretical, me just sitting here in a studio talking nonsense. You know, there's so much that goes into it. They've got so much more information. They know the tendencies. They've broken down the tape, etc. They've got all everything you see on that play sheet comes from a week of work and, you know, building up every cut up, every third and eight that they've seen this defense run. This is why they've chosen the plays that they call on third and eight, etc. I would love to see more hurry up, get Danny Vitale involved in the passing game, things like that. But those are really easy for me to kind of flip out and talk about, etc. But as far as like where do I think weaknesses are in LaFleur's play calling, he's a first-year head coach who is calling plays. That's a monumental task. And for the most part, I think he's done an amazing job, especially the month where Devontae, you know, was hurt and they absolutely didn't miss a beat and or got better. One adjustment I'd love to see is something we were talking about earlier. More plays run for other guys. They have become too Devontae-centric. There's no question about it. I think the last three games have told you all you need to know in that regard. And that's, you know, I understand it. Don't forget. Think back to the start of the year. Think back after the Bears game. And then kind of the next couple weeks. And then there was a headline about Devontae Adams isn't involved. Devontae Adams had a meeting with the coaches. And then the Philadelphia game happened and he exploded. And then he got hurt. But those first three games, it was all, where's Devontae? They're not getting the ball to Devontae, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now they're getting the ball to Devontae. It's just not working. Or it's working, but it's just not putting points on the board. It's a lot to juggle there. And I think LaFleur, like I said, for a first-year head coach who's also calling plays, is doing a pretty damn good job. Is Ryan Grant actually worse than Geronimo? At this point, I can't see what trying him in the slot can hurt. See, Adam, that's something we say on the outside of the building. But, you know, Geronimo has been working with Aaron Rodgers for 3 years and has been working in this offense with LaFleur and Rodgers since last April. And yes, Ryan Grant may have some athletic ability that is a bit better than Geronimo Allison. But it's not as simple as just insert him and go. He's been working with the offense for a number of weeks now, so maybe he's ready. But the whole reason he was signed was just in case other guys couldn't play. Again, I get it's frustrating. I get Geronimo has become a liability. I would billion times prefer Jake Kumerow to start getting some of those snaps than bumping up Ryan Grant. We need to utilize Jones to set up Adams. I'm with you on that. Kittle said in his interview that they have run that play he scored on since week one. They have or haven't? Well, they've run a version of that play. What they usually do is flood. It's a zone flood, basically, where everything, you saw the bootleg, everyone crosses, and that's what Amos does when he comes down to cut off the crosser. Everything's flowing that way. This was a tendency breaker because then usually he just goes to the corner. This time he went corner post and cut back into the middle of the field. Now, if Alexander drops back to the middle like he's supposed to, that throw is maybe not there, but it's a hell of a lot tougher for the quarterback to make. So, but that's just a great play call, well set up, perfect tendency breaker by Shanahan. That's why he's one of the best play callers in the league. Yeah, those guys get paid too. What else we got here? Forecast for Sunday? Snow is the last thing I saw. What are your opinions on the O-line? Obviously, they were terrible on Sunday, but still, I think they're really good. I mean, yeah, they had a bad day at the office, but they're still a very good group. I mean, they faced one of the best pass rushing fronts in football in their place. Yes, it was a tough game, no doubt about it. They're still one of the better units in the league. Jerry, thank you so much for the super chat. Do you think the Packers have a West Coast problem? I mean, current evidence suggests that you're onto something there. What is it? One times a whatever and two times is a trend or something. I mean, you only call it like you see it, right? Here's hoping they don't have to go out there during the playoffs. Jake, thanks for the super chat. Vitale split out wide. What went through your head? Oh, baby. Nine route. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I really hoped they were going to throw him the football. I actually joked with him when I ran into him at the Chipotle in Green Bay back in the summer. You know, I saw in a preseason game they split him out wide, and I was like, "Oh yeah, what's going on there?" And he said, "You know, we're setting something up." So here's hoping someday Vitaly on the nine. It's all I want, baby. There it is. Thanks, Luke. Once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, three times in anime action. Oh, wait, what? Banky Nagler 2020. I like that. Leroy finally in the hall. Took too damn long. Well, he's not in the hall yet, Dustin. He's a semifinalist. A lot of work to do. A lot of annoying stuff to carpet bomb the committee with on Twitter. And they hate it when you do that, but I don't care. I got to make Jason Cole and company look foolish. It is ridiculous. It is absolutely absurd. It is a travesty. It is a mockery of justice. It is a Travis Shamockery that Leroy Butler has not been in the Hall of Fame for years already. It is absolutely preposterous. And that John Fing Lynch was a finalist before Leroy Butler is an absolute joke. Don't get me wrong. John Lynch was a fine player. But he was nowhere near the player Leroy Butler was. Not even close. Where is Burks? Still hurt or just a bust? Well, I wouldn't call him a bust just yet, but he can't get on the field. He's not hurt. I think he had one snap on Sunday. Doesn't bode well. You throw in Josh Jackson not playing, and wow. That little middle meat of that draft is not looking great. Did Lindsley look as bad on tape as the game seemed? I did just talk about this on the radio as well. You know, look. Lindsley had some up-and-down games early in his career when he and J.C. Treader were both vying for that starting center spot. And then he, you know, got the job full-time, got the contract extension, etc. He has been a rock, absolutely solid. Without question, Sunday night was the worst game I've seen him play in a Packers uniform. Now, again, as we were just talking about, it was bad for everybody across the board. Best defensive front they're going to face all year in their place. It's no excuse. But it's, you know, play is a big part. I expect him to bounce back big time, get back to the Lindsley we know and love starting Sunday. But yeah, no question, he struggled mightily against the 49ers. Stephen, with the question of the day, do you get hangovers? Thomas, why don't we ever run actual routes downfield like slants, deep crossers, seam routes? Seems like short underneath or sideline stuff all the time. It's really annoying. Not sure I agree with your police work there, Thomas. They run all that stuff. Adam, Skip Bayless or Coward? Which one is the ultimate potato? Potatoes. That look described the 49ers game. Well, sometimes, you know, words just won't do it justice. All right, everybody, I'm going to jump. Thank you so much for all the questions. I'm sorry if I couldn't get to yours. Transplants back right here in the studio tomorrow, 5 o'clock Eastern Time, 4 o'clock Lambeau. Hit like, hit subscribe so you'll get a notification when we're ready to do transplants. Tell your friends, tell your family. And if you like what we do, please consider giving $5 a month to our Patreon, patreon.com/cheeseheadTV. It supports video side, content, social, everything that we do. And hey, tell your friends, Cheesehead TV, we're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night.